praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two ministers of God's economy who served together in China for nearly 20 years. Watchman Nee was imprisoned by the Chinese government in 1952 and remained there until his death in 1972. Following his imprisonment, Witness Lee carried on this ministry in Taiwan and eventually in America and ultimately around the world. He served the Lord for more than 70 years before going to be with him in 1997. His major contribution was through a 21-year labor he called Life Study, an exhaustive commentary on the entire Bible. This program is based on those messages. Before we join today's show, we'd like to give you our website where you can find more programs just like this one. It's lsmradio.org. Again, lsmradio.org. Now, here's our show today. When the children of Israel were escaping Egypt, the Lord granted them favor and allowed them to take much gold, silver, and other precious materials with them. Later, they used that gold to make an idol, offending God to the uttermost. But after being reconciled to Him, they were able to offer this gold once again, this time for the building of God's house. This brought in God's full blessing. And this is a wonderful lesson for us today, and we'll take a look at it. Francis Ball has joined us once again for one of our final programs in the Life Study of Exodus. Francis, welcome back.
It's always good to be here, and especially these messages that have so much to do with applying it to our Christian living.
That's really been the point. We have not approached the book of Exodus and this topic just as a matter of Bible study, Francis, but of course the point of the life study that we've seen, all of these matters have a direct, practical life application for us in our Christian experience, don't they?
Yes, they do, and it's quite amazing how this never ceases to be the key point in all these messages to bring us to the experience of Christ.
Right. Well, Francis, the context of these recent messages is that after a long time of being in God's presence and Moses receiving all of the instructions and details for the tabernacle as well as the law of commandments, it's now time for God's people to begin the building work. But we have three verses at the beginning of chapter 35 that set the backdrop. Maybe you could review these three verses for us and the main point that we pick up from them, Francis.
Yeah, I'd like to read those three verses. They are quite interesting because after all the instruction is given, then this says, "And Moses gathered all the assembly of the children of Israel and said to them, 'These are the words which Jehovah has commanded you to do. 6 days shall work be done. But on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to Jehovah. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day.'" I wonder, though, if the real, genuine meaning of the Sabbath has been made clear to us, because there's so much significance to the Sabbath as it's presented here that has to do with our spiritual understanding. According to the 20th chapter of Exodus and also Deuteronomy chapter 12, we see the significance of the Sabbath is to remember the Lord as our Creator and Redeemer. And when we remember the one who created us and redeemed us, just remember Him as the keeping of a Sabbath. And before Moses called the people together to begin the work of building up God's dwelling place, the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the very first thing that comes out here is to keep the Sabbath day. And if we remember how the Sabbath was introduced in Genesis, we see that that's the last day of God's creating work, and He set apart the Sabbath. But maybe many of us never realized that's the first day of man.
Mm-hmm.
So man's first day is God's seventh day. So the point here, as I understand it, is that before we do anything for the Lord, we need to rest in the Lord. We need to remember Him as our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Savior.
That really is the profound point of these recent messages, Francis, that our work should not begin until we have had this genuine experience of the real Sabbath rest of God's people, because out of that flows something that has the potential to be satisfying to God. But without that, there's really nothing we can do that is of much value to Him, is there?
That's right. And it's not Him doing it if we don't rest in Him.
Right.
If we're trying to work for Him, that's our energy, and that's not His supply. But if we rest in Him and feast on Him and enjoy Him, even many times a day, we should take a Sabbath.
Right.
It's not like a religious day that we hold a separate, but it's a practice of enjoying the Lord, of resting in the Lord. By that, He can supply us with what we need to carry out His work.
Well, the other item that we've seen in context with the Sabbath was, again, before the people could work, they were instructed to keep these feasts that we saw in chapter 34. So feasting and resting really are the condition of God's people that issue in something that is profitable for the building up of His house. Now, Francis, we're going to get to that point today as we continue on in chapter 35. And we'll take a look at the accomplishment of God's building. The accomplishment of the building of God's dwelling place began by the people then offering up the materials. These offerings were in several categories. Let's look at a couple of the verses in chapter 35 that mention these. And Moses spoke to all the assembly of the children of Israel, saying, "This is what Jehovah has commanded, saying, take from among yourselves a heave offering to Jehovah. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, the heave offering of Jehovah, gold, silver, and bronze." Let's look at these materials and join Witness Lee.
For making these holy things, there was the need of materials. So Moses charged the people to offer all the materials. What is the spiritual significance in offering the materials? All the different items offered, they were for the building of God's dwelling. And in all those records, we have seen all these materials are types of Christ in different aspects. Silver was a type of Christ. Gold, too. Even bronze or copper or brass, also. These offerings seemingly are of material things. And nearly all of them were gained in Egypt. These things offered to God were called, number one, the heave offering. And number two, the wave offering. And number three, the free offering. The heave offering is the ascended Christ. And the wave offering is the resurrected Christ. And the free will offering is the very Christ of our free will. God never forces you to experience Christ. Then you offer Christ to Him. Whether you would experience Christ and offer Him to God or not, it's up to you. This is a free will matter. So, according to the spiritual interpretation, all the offerings refer to Christ. No doubt, all these items are what? Are types of the very Christ whom we experience. Sometimes we experience Christ as the reality of God, that's gold. Sometimes we experience Christ as our Redeemer, as our redemption, and this is silver. And sometimes we experience Christ judged by God for us. He replaces us. He, in so many things, even today, is our substitute. This is bronze. Today, for the building of the church as God's dwelling place, we all have to experience Christ. If you don't experience Christ, you have nothing to offer to God as heave offering, wave offering, and free will offering for the building up of God's dwelling place. In ancient time, suppose I was there, one of the Israelites, I had nothing. My hands were empty. Moses gave us the word. I said, "Brothers, sorry. I'm so pitiful. I have nothing. I have nothing. You have so much. what a shame. I tell you, today, many saints are like this. They have nothing as far as the experience of Christ goes. So, for the building up of the church, their hands are empty. We all need to have some riches, the riches of the experience of Christ that I can offer for the building of the church.
Francis, I appreciate the irony here that the same people that had given their gold for the golden calf and had fallen into idolatry could now be given the opportunity to offer up their gold, silver, and other possessions for the building of God's dwelling place. How does their giving of gold and silver, Francis, relate to us?
What is offered here is the things that they had really gained in Egypt. And as you pointed out, they had used this for building an idol. But now, by the Lord's mercy and because of His ultimate intention, these can all be used to build up His dwelling place. But they have a spiritual significance to us. They were to bring their gold. Well, for us to enjoy God as our reality, that's the goal. And for us to enjoy the silver means that we enjoy Christ as our redemption. Not only that He redeemed us, but He is our redemption. That's the silver. And then the bronze is our experience of Christ as the one who was judged in our place. So all these relate to Christ and our experiences of Christ. And if we don't see the book of Exodus in this light, we really don't have anything more than just a book of history. But to realize it in this light, we realize this is a book of experiences for us today as the New Testament believers.
Francis, we read this verse a moment ago in chapter 35, verse 5, that mentioned a willing heart. A similar phrase comes up again in verse 21, and we're going to look at this verse in the coming section. And they came, everyone whose heart lifted him up, and everyone whose spirit made him willing, and brought the heave offering of Jehovah for the work of the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. We want to look at this matter, Francis, of having our heart lifted up for God's building. Here's Witness Lee once again.
Even you are Basilio, Aholia, you still need the Spirit of God. Listen, in the ancient time even, to build the material dwelling place of God, there was the need of the Spirit of God. How about today? God filled these dear ones whose heart lifted up themselves. God filled them with the Spirit to give them wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and the skill, and the craft. This is a picture that today, to build up the church, we need brothers and sisters like these kind of persons. Persons with a heart up, lifting them up, and who are filled with the Spirit. To have wisdom, even today, to be an elder, to be a co-worker, to be one in the building work of the church, we all need the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge, and the skill, and the craft. Dear saints, don't think you and I have some experience of Christ which are good for us to offer to God. This is sufficient. This is enough. No. These are just the materials. And where's the building? And how about the building? For the building, still there is the need of the building work. For the building work, we need a lot of workers. And all these workers should have a heart to lift them up that God can come in. If you read, you could see, you must have a heart lifting yourself up. Then God comes in to fill you with the Spirit as your wisdom, as your understanding, as your knowledge, and as your skill and your craft.
Well, Francis, we read this verse, verse 21, about having a heart that is lifted up. This kind of condition of the heart was required of the people to be able to participate in the building work. Yet it struck me that it must have been difficult for the people to have such a heart, especially after the magnitude of the sin that they had committed. They must have been filled with still guilt and remorse. But the Lord was still, in the midst of that, looking for this heart condition of having a heart that's lifted up. We need to be the same kind of people, don't we, Francis?
We really do, because certainly we have to admit we have failed utterly. But the Lord has graciously and mercifully redeemed us and brought us back to Himself. And all the things that we have gained from His salvation, from His redemption, from His indwelling us, these make it possible for us to offer our experiences of Christ to Him. And this requires that our heart be free. That means our conscience should be without condemnation because of what He's done for us, and that our fellowship with Him should be restored and so sweet and so desirous on our part that our heart just gets lifted up because of His grace, His mercy, His love, His care for us. And we have a desire then for God to have a way to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. So this lifts our heart up, and we feel freed from all our guilt and our shame and our worthlessness, and realize that we have been brought again into God's presence for His purpose.
As you're describing this, Francis, of course, I can relate to many times in my own experience where we've gone through these periods. It reminds me in Romans, the transition between chapter 7 and 8, there's a similar kind of experience that Paul is describing here, isn't there?
Yeah, there surely is, because Paul was really depicting himself in a sorrowful condition. How can he overcome all this guilt and shame and this worthlessness? But he sees now, when he gets to chapter 8, that there is a spirit in him, and it really lifts his heart up, and he's renewed. The spirit of life has now become real to him. So this should be our experience, too. Christ coming into us as the spirit of life has really renewed our relationship with the Lord and lifts our heart up. My heart's lifted up this morning, isn't yours, Chris?
It is, Francis, and it's getting more so as I am hearing you talk about this. So often, this is the experience we really need. Our experience of the Lord out of a lifted up heart is altogether different than when we're just full of our feelings of guilt and self-pity or remorse. And that characterizes so much of our experience as Christians, it seems, unfortunately, doesn't it?
That's right.
Well, Francis, at the conclusion of chapter 39, the next to the last chapter in the book of Exodus, there's a wonderful little word here, and we're going to look at it in our final section today. All of the building work has by now been accomplished, and Moses saw all the work, and there it was. They had done it, just as Jehovah had commanded, so they had done, and Moses blessed them. Of course, Moses, who before had expressed God's own indignation and anger at their transgression when he smashed the tablets the first time, now is in a position where he can bless them, and really his blessing is really God's blessing. And that's what we want to look at in this final section.
Now we come to the making. The sequence of the mix is different from the sequence of the revelation. You know, in the revelation, the first thing revealed was the ark, then the tabernacle, then the showbread table, then the lampstand, then the incense altar, and then the holy garments. The revelation is according to God's desire.
Yeah.
The revelation is according to God what He wants. What God wants, firstly, the ark of testimony. Then this, then that, then this, then that. Everything was revealed there according to what was on God's heart. But in the making, this is according to practical need. So the first item was the tabernacle. You have to make the tabernacle first. Then you make the furniture as the filling up of the tabernacle. And the contents, you shouldn't make the contents first, then you make the covering tabernacle. Okay? So the work was going on to be finished. Then the whole thing related to tabernacle was finished. Then making the garment for the priest, making the ephod, that is the central thing of the holy garment, ephod. that has two shoulder plates. They're making the breastplate, and the breastplate is right away in front of the ephod. Then making the outer robe of the ephod. Ephod was not a robe. Ephod like a little vest, a long robe. It's under this vest. Inside of the robe, there was the inner tunics, like some coats. A turban, this was for the high priest. And turbans, these were for the priests. Breeches for Aaron and his sons. And girdles, the same thing for the high priest and the priest. Then making the plate of the holy crown, this was for the high priest. You see, on the turban, there was a plate that was inscribed with this expression, holy unto Jehovah. So, this is it. Now, we come to the end of chapter 39. The work was finished, and they all were presented to Moses. And Moses looked at it, looked at them. Moses was happy, so Moses blessed all the things made. Hallelujah. Everything was finished, so the blessing came down. I hope that the building up of the church would be like this. One day we present everything to him, our Moses would be happy, and he would give us the blessing.
Francis, item by item, all the things that the Lord had revealed to Moses were made. First, the tabernacle itself, and then the items. And ultimately, the situation was so positive, even brought in the blessing. We want to look at this again, Francis. Despite our failures and discouragement, what's the lesson here for us about the kind of situation that brings in God's blessing?
Well, the thing that really brought in God's blessing here in Exodus was the fact that God was able to give Moses the full instruction of how to carry out this building work after giving him a full revelation of what the building work is and what it's for. And then he was able to impart that into the people and just give them what God commanded them to do. And we saw earlier that he first wants them to rest in him. Then he empowers them, lifts their heart up, and enables them and even gifts them. That means he gives them gifts of how to carry out this detailed work that's involved in this tabernacle and all these garments of all the serving ones that do the building work. And the thing that really touched me so much was the fact that at the end of all this, he said, they have done it. They've done it according to God's commandment. And that means to me that what the Lord really wants is just our obedience to carry out the things according to his word. His purpose is so clear. He wants to build a dwelling place for himself on the earth, and he's doing it through us, his believers. And he's doing it by gifting some believers among us to be able to actually do the building work, the detailed work. So there needs to be those who are willing, who have a willing spirit, and who have an uplifted heart to carry out this work in a very thorough way. So we really praise the Lord for what he's brought to us in this particular portion of the Bible.
What a satisfaction it must have been to Moses, to the people, but particularly to the Lord after all they had gone through, and now they're in a situation, mission accomplished in a sense. They had done it, we have done it, and Moses blessed them. Francis, we would like to hear those words someday, wouldn't we?
Amen. I surely hope we can.
Then, of course, we need to stay focused on God's building. And please try to be with us for these final programs on the book of Exodus. A wonderful conclusion to what has been a tremendous life study. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. This program is brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, publisher of the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. To find out more about these two 20th century New Testament ministers, we invite you to visit our website, lsm.org. There you'll find more than 600 titles from both authors available online. You can also listen to recordings of Witness Lee's spoken messages and see the full array of material that Living Stream has to offer. Again, that's lsm.org. Thank you for listening today.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.